The Apostle Paul says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And put on the whole armor, not just part of it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Has anyone noticed darkness in the world? Against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, because all that's true, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you will be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And as the shoes for the feet, put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace in all circumstances. Take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God last week. Okay, now what? Praying at all times in the Spirit with all supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you, God, for this beautiful day that you made. We just rejoice in this day. We're grateful for this day. We're grateful for every breath that we breathe, every beat of our heart. We're thankful, God, for life that you've given us, you created us. And we're thankful for abundant life that we have in Messiah, in Jesus. And Lord, we're really thankful for eternal life. Eternal life. So life comes from you. And we're grateful for it today. We love you and praise you. We ask, God, that you would just move in this mighty place. God, people didn't come here to hear me, God, but we all need to hear you. So we ask, God, that you would speak in this place and you would just use human agents to do this now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say what?
Amen.
Amen. And you may be seated. And as you are, just real quick, I'm just curious, have you ever had the privilege of jumping off your roof into the snow? Called my brother last night. He lives in Northern California. And Tahoe's getting hammered. Mammoth's getting hammered. I'm a Big Bearian. So as I grew up in Big Bear, we had a few times we got snowstorms like this. And I remember sitting there watching it come down. And then my dad would tell me to get on my jacket because we're going up on the roof. Because we got to shovel the snow off the roof. Here's the problem. If so much snow gets on the roof, it's so heavy, it can actually break the roof. So you got to get up there in the midst of a snowstorm and shovel the snow off the roof. And then he'd get mad at me because I would just find myself jumping off the roof into the snow. So it's really, you guys, if you get a chance to look up into the mountains, it was just beautiful. The snow that we have and the just the beautiful place that we get to live. Be grateful for what country you're in today. Be grateful for the state that you find yourself in today. There's beauty in each state, and certainly here in California, the mountains are beautiful. But don't go up there for a while because all the roads are closed. But can I ask you? So how's 2024 going for you? Have you had a good year so far, as PJ said? Have you had a good year? Early in this year, someone came up to me and they said, Pastor Frank, I thought last year would be bad with the war in Ukraine, but as we're entering 2024, we have a war in the Middle East. Here's the deal. In Europe, there's a dictator. His name's Vladimir Putin. He's a dictator. He should be called king. And he started a war in Europe because he wants territory and land. Iran is a dictator, and there's wars in the Middle East. China, it's a dictator. They're threatening to Taiwan. North Korea's got a lot of nuclear weapons. The guy's a dictator, and he's threatening. World's a mess, okay? And Pastor Frank, I thought last year was bad. This year, it's even worse. And then we got an election. All that's true. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. With all that being true, here's the deal. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's the deal. Okay? Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid, right? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Here's the deal. Be strong in the Lord. In the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. That you'll be able to stand in the evil day, right? Against the schemes of the enemy. Since January, we've been doing this series on the armor of God. And just my heart's desire as a pastor is just to... You can see the storms on the horizon. Yeah, world's a crazy place. Okay, so let's just get really close to Jesus. And let's not be afraid. Let's not be discouraged. Let's just be strong in the Lord. Let's be courageous in God because he's with you. Is there anything that this world can do to you that you and Jesus can't handle together? Anything? We're talking about God who raises the dead, okay? So, yes, the world's a little bit crazy. I agree. People, I was supposed to be leading a trip to Israel in 2 weeks. I wish you could have been with me a couple years ago. PJ was leading worship with us last night at the Garden Tomb. Beautiful. On the Damascus Gate going out of Jerusalem, there's a mountain that has a face of a skull. And there's a 2,000-year-old tomb there and a garden. Sound familiar? We go there and we took communion and we're singing and worshiping Jesus as we ended we got to walk in the land of Christ. But something happened this year. We had to cancel our trip. We scheduled it till next year. A small war happening in Israel right now. Hey, the life's crazy. I get it. I agree. But we're here to just get close to Jesus. Have you gotten close to Jesus so far in this quarter? Has this series blessed you? You know, it's 6 months from now, you're probably going to be looking and going, okay, I remember Pastor Frank did this thing on the armor of God. What is the sequence again? Wait, what, is it the helmet, then the breast, then the... it's the belt, and then the breastplate of right. Here's the deal. Here's the shortcut. Just put on Jesus. Just put on Jesus. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Jesus is our righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of Christ. It's been imputed to us. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince that brings peace into your life. Do you have peace with God? Or the better question is, does God have peace with you? God only has peace with you through his Son Messiah and what he's done on the cross, taking away your sins. When you think of the armor of God, the shortcut is to think of Jesus. He's the helmet of salvation. There's no name given amongst mankind in which mankind might be saved in the name of Jesus. Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's our shield. And he's the Word of God. Trying to remember, just think the shortcut to all of this is put on Christ. Put on Christ. And here's the deal. So to say all that, it's so interesting. Once the Apostle Paul says to put on the whole armor of God, he says, by the way, he's just talking about this beautiful metaphor, right? Here's this armor, this Romans. We're going to put on Jesus. Once you've done all this, he says to pray. Pray. So once you put on the armor of God, what am I supposed to do? Pray. Does that sound anticlimactic? Doesn't it though, maybe a little bit? So I used to teach at Biola. Biola is a really cool Christian school up in La Mirada that I went to. Their master's program or their seminary is called Talbot. I went there as well. And I had the privilege to go and teach it at Biola a few years, and loved it because I was teaching a freshman class. I had 42 freshmen in my class. I was an adjunct professor, so I was doing this part-time. And I had the privilege of teaching biblical interpretation. How do we approach the Bible? And I would teach on spiritual formation, which are like spiritual disciplines. And one of the topics that I would teach in the semester was on the topic of prayer. And one of my, it was so beautiful. You guys, I wish you could have been there. To watch these 18, 19, 20-year-olds born and raised in the church, going to a Christian school, and we began, one day the topic was on prayer, and I wish you could have just seen the discussion that would come out from these students. One of them said, "Professor Winans, I do it all the time, but I'm really not sure why. The Bible says to pray, and I pray, but I don't totally understand why." Someone else says, "I love Ephesians 6, but it seems so anticlimactic once I put on the armor of God. I'm called to pray. It's like after doing this, I feel like I'm ready to storm the gates of hell." And then Paul just says, "Pray." "Professor Wines, to be honest, I think prayer's boring." Awesome. Now it's time to whiteboard it, right? "Hey guys, let's talk about prayer." And they'd start belting it out. They'd start writing it down. And we would spend what we're going to do today talking about prayer. Here's the top three questions from college students in the years that I taught. Question, "Professor Winans, since God knows everything, why should I talk to God and tell him something he already knows?" You ever thought about that one? Is that a good question? Why should I talk to God and tell him something when he already knows everything? That's a good one, right? Question, does God know everything? He does. Does God know what you're going to say before you say it? Really? Psalm 139, 1 through 4. King David says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways." Does that scare you? "Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." So why should I pray and talk to God when he already knows what I'm going to say? Good question, right? It's funny, if you ever read Jesus and Peter, there's a really cool conversation with Jesus and Peter. We actually begin our first day in Israel going to this beach. It's the beach where Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter denied Jesus three times. Jesus made Peter publicly confess him three times. And, you know, "Peter, do you love me? Shepherd my sheep, feed my lambs." And Peter realized what Jesus was doing, and he was feeling really convicted. But Jesus was calling him. By the way, if you deny Christ, it's a big deal. Jesus says, "You deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father who is in heaven." That's a bad day. And Peter denied Christ. And the third time, listen to Peter's argument. It's in John 21:17. Says, "The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.'" Right? Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Here's this conversation, and Peter just says, "Why are we even talking about this anymore? You already know everything. Why am I even talking about this with you? Why are you asking me these questions? You know everything. Can we please not talk about this anymore? Why should I talk to you about this, Jesus? Why should we pursue this conversation? Because you know everything. Does God know everything? Answer, he does." That's a top one. That was a good one. Here's another one. Write this down. Here's a great one. Top three. Ready? "Why should I talk to God and ask him to do something if he's already predestined all things? Predetermined all things. Why should I ask God to do anything in prayer if he's already predetermined everything? Predestined everything." Sovereignty, the sovereign will of God. Here's a great definition of the sovereign will of God. You ready? God can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, whenever he wants, without asking you first. He's God. God has sovereignly put all in place. So our prayers of asking things of God, which is like petitions, right? Or asking things of God, like intercession, necessary in a world where it's all predestined? Is that a good question? That's a great question. How about this one? I love this one. I still see your face. Third row over, fourth seat back. Is the only value of prayer the inward emotional strength it gives a person, or does prayer change circumstances? Write that one down. Isn't that a great one? Is the only value of prayer, why should I pray? Oh, these are great questions. Professor Winans, I do it all the time. I'm not sure quite why. I have a lot of questions why. And this one says, I think I know that prayer gives me inward emotional strength. But does prayer change circumstances? Have you ever asked these? Aren't these great questions? Have you ever asked these questions? How would you answer these questions? Here's the point. If you run down any of those trails, you'll find yourself not praying. With the topic of prayer, there's a simplicity and there's a complexity that comes with the topic. There's a simplicity, prayer, but there's a complexity to it. If there was ever a person who approached prayer correctly, who viewed prayer correctly, who did prayer correctly, who would that be? Jesus. Because I've asked these questions. If you're going to, 6 months from now, going, what's the order of the armor of God? Just think, people, put on Jesus. If you have questions about prayer, look at Jesus. If there was ever a person who approached prayer correctly, who viewed prayer correctly, and who prayed correctly, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Right? Anybody that can come up out of the grave, you should listen to, because they might be smarter than you. Right? It's so cool. If you look at how Jesus deals in prayer, he will keep you away from entering into these questions that will actually discourage you. If you read the Gospels, watch how Jesus approaches prayer. So I'm going to read you some examples. Are you ready? Luke chapter 6, 12 through 13. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. And spent the night praying to God. And when the morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, who he also designated as apostles. How about Luke 5:17? But Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. How often did he do this? A lot. In Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 38, very early in the morning, while it's still dark. What time did the sun come up this morning? Can you imagine Jesus beating you out of bed? He's already down by the Sea of Galilee. Very early in the morning, while it's still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place and prayed. And Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they explained, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also, because that's why I've come." How important is prayer to Jesus? Note number 4, write this down. Jesus would deny his body sleep in order to pray. When was the last time you did that? By the way, he's the Son of God. If he does this, how much more do we need prayer? It's so interesting. If you want to talk about prayer, look at Christ. Look how he approached prayer. Jesus began his ministry in prayer in Luke 3:21. Jesus ended his ministry in prayer in Luke 23:46, which, by the way, that's a note. Make sure there's a note for your growth groups. I missed that up. It's Luke 23:46. It's not 46:23. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He ended his ministry in prayer. He began his ministry in prayer. Jesus ended his ministry in prayer. And everywhere in between it, every intersection, Jesus prayed all the way through his life. All the way through his life. Why? Why? What does Jesus see that we still need to learn about prayer? Or maybe he's just misinformed. Couldn't you see Peter coming up and saying, Jesus, why did you wake up so early this morning? Don't you know that God already knows what you're going to say before you say it? So why did you wake up this morning to pray? Jesus, why did you wake up so early? Don't you know that it's all predestined anyway? Couldn't you see Jesus going, yeah, man, what a waste. That's not his, he doesn't approach that at all. What does Jesus see about prayer that we still need to learn about prayer? Because he totally committed his life. He was so connected in prayer. He was praying all the way through. This is Christ. Here's the deal. You ready? Note number 5. His praying isn't passive in his life. His praying is active. He makes time for prayer. Jesus places a priority on prayer. You got to write that down. His praying isn't passive. It's not like it's a passive thing. It's an active thing. Jesus, there was something about prayer that Jesus was just locked into. He made time for it. And it was a priority to pray. So here's what Jesus teaches us about prayer. Are you ready? Note number 6. Prayer is relational communication with God. Prayer is relational communication with God. Actually, he teaches us how to pray. And what does Jesus say? Pray in this way. Our Father. That's intimacy. It's an Arabic word, means Abba. It's so cool to go, and you can hear like little kids saying Abba, Abba in the streets of Jerusalem. And I'm like, oh, that's Abba. Pray in this way. Our Father. Our Daddy. Our Daddy. Do you know that heaven is a relational place? And God's our Father, and we're his children. This is awesome. Prayer is a relational thing. It's relational communication with God. You're communicating with God. FYI, in any marriage, if you don't communicate well, your marriage isn't going to do very good. FYI. Hey, husbands, you hearing me? Talk to your wives. Wives, talk to your husbands. Kids, talk to your parents. Communication's key. Jesus teaches us this, but here it is, and here it is. Write this down. Jesus teaches us that prayer is the means by which God gets his will done on earth. Prayer is the means by which God gets his will done on earth. Prayer is the means by which God gets his will done on earth. That's why Jesus prayed, because a sovereign God has ordained us to pray. One of my favorite professors at Biola, Dr. Mitchell, he said, prayer is the primary human agent given by a sovereign God to man through which he will accomplish his will on earth. Wow. Prayer is the primary human agent given by a sovereign God to man to mankind through which he will accomplish his will on earth. We participate in the work of God when we pray, when we enter in. And people, if you believe this, it'll change the way you pray or approach prayer. God moves in your prayers. God moves in your prayers. Note number 8. Prayer cannot change the nature of God. So don't even try. But prayer is used by God to implement his will to change people and things. Let me say that again. Prayer can't change the nature of God. But prayer is used by God to implement his will to change people and circumstances or things. Prayer is powerful. People, Joshua prayed and the sun stood still. Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years. Moses prayed and Israel was beating the Amalekites. The church prayed, and Peter was let out of jail. Prayer can't change the nature of God, but prayer is used by God to implement His will, to change people, to change things or circumstances. Note number 9. Prayer is not a means to get our will done in heaven. Prayer is not a means to get your will done in heaven, but it's a means by which God gets His will done on earth. If you believe this, you'll pray differently. You'll approach prayer differently. Prayer is the means by which God gets His will done on earth, not the way you get your will done in heaven. There's something about prayer. Leonard Ravenhill, great theologian, said this: "The church has many organizers, but few agonizers. Many payers, but few prayers. In the matter of prayer, never has so much been owed by so many to so few who pray." Prayer is powerful. Say that with me. I think you believe that. Okay, let's say it again. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Prayer is powerful. That's what Jesus believes. That's why He committed His life to prayer. All the way through, beginning, end, all the way through, He was praying. I could see Jesus staying up all night in prayer. He has all these disciples, and He's like, okay, Lord, out of all these disciples, what 12 am I going to pick to make them apostles? Right? This is a big decision, leadership decision. He's talking with the Father. What do you think? How about Peter? Well, Lord, Peter does have a foul mouth. Yeah. Foul mouth fisherman. Thomas, Lord, the guy is just doubting. Okay, we'll go for him, right? I mean, prayer is powerful. God moves in prayer. God moves in prayer. It's a means, a human means in which God gets His will done on earth. And that is why Jesus devoted so much of His life to praying. I'm convinced in this. There's power in prayer, and if Satan can get you to believe that there isn't, then he's got you. It'd be like trying to imagine telling a soldier that his rifle doesn't work. Imagine telling a soldier that his tank doesn't really, if you can get a soldier to believe that his weapon doesn't work, then the enemy's got you. If Satan can convince you to not pray, he's got you. And that is why Paul says what he says in Ephesians 6. It's actually brilliant. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, right? Finally, be strong in the Lord. We're talking about Jesus. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Notice how strong Christ was in prayer. Put on the whole armor of God, you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against the rulers, against the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, because all that's true, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand firm. And once you put on the armor of God, what are you supposed to do? Praying at all times. Praying at all times. Why? Why? Paul says praying at all times. Why? Because prayer is powerful. Because God moves in prayer. People go to war in the spiritual realm. Advance in the spiritual realm. Pray in the spiritual realm. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Paul says pray at all times. Pray at all times. Okay. Pastor, so... Well, a few years ago, I'm talking with this couple. And we're talking about something. And I asked them, I said, well, have you guys prayed about it? And she said, do you think it's come to that? People, it's always come to that. Man, there's this circumstance, Pastor, we need. Have you guys prayed about this? Do you really think it's come to that? It's always come to that. It's first and 10. It's not fourth and 10. It's not a Hail Mary. We pray all the way through. Pray at all times, Paul says. Pray at all times. It's a mindset of constant communication with God. And you're talking to the God of the universe, the God that speaks all things into existence. Do you realize the communication? Do you realize who you're talking to? People to have breakdown in communication with him is a bad idea. To not pick up the phone and call him is not smart. In constant communication, it's an attitude of prayer all the way through, at every stop, at every transition, at every means, asking, seeking, knocking, right? Prayer. It's a lifestyle. Paul says this to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. How you doing? Have you been rejoicing always? Rejoice always. You can find something to be joyful about, can't you? Rejoice always. Pray continually. How often's continually? It's an attitude of prayer, right? Give thanks in all circumstances. Have you thanked God lately? For this is, by the way, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will for you to be constantly talking to him. Wouldn't it be a bummer to get to heaven and God saying, if you had asked me, I would have done it. Wouldn't that have been sad? You get to heaven and God said, well, if you had asked me, we receive not because we ask not. Wouldn't that be sad? It's God's will for our life to talk to him. There's a famous verse in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29:11-13. I love this verse. I use this verse a lot at weddings. God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. God knows the plans he has for you. In the context, he's speaking to the nation of Israel. But here's the deal. God has plans for you too. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope, especially in his son Jesus. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And here's the verse. And I will listen to you. Isn't that nice? You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God says, talk to me. Here's the point. God wants you to talk to him. And when you do, he promises to listen to you. How much do we miss in our lives because we don't pray? People, prayer is powerful. Pray at all times. We need to be in constant prayer, in preparation for the battle or when we're in the battle, because it's all around us. People, look at the world we're living in. Pray for the world. Pray for this country. Pray over your family. Husbands, pray over your wife. Husbands, pray with your wife. She's your wife. It's okay to pray with her. She's your wife. When I do premarital counseling, at the end of every premarital counseling session, I have them stand up and I have them hug each other. And I say, husbands, pray over her. I call them prayer hugs. And then the next session, she prays over him. Pray over your family. Pray, 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 pray. Pray at all times in the Spirit. What does that mean? What does that mean, Pastor Frank? People, you live in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit of God. You're born again. You're born anew. You're born from above. Commune with the Spirit of the living God. Walk with the living God. Connect with the living God. Walk in the Spirit of Christ. Walk in the Spirit of who God is and what God is, in the power of the Spirit. People, last week I talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. The Holy Spirit stirs in the Bible in our lives. People, can I challenge you? This is something I'm doing in my life. The sword of the Spirit is Rhema, sermon of last Sunday. Listen to it if you didn't get a chance. It's we declare, we proclaim God's Word. Can I ask you to please pray God's Word into your life? Can you pray God's word into your life? Can you take Ephesians 6 and pray it into your life? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his life. Father, thank you for helping me be strong in the Lord and in the strength of Christ. Help me, Lord, to put on the armor of God that I might be able to stand in the evil day. Don't just read scripture or proclaim or declare it, what you need to do in the fight, but pray scripture into your life. Pray scripture into your life. And that's an exercise I'm asking you to do in your small groups this week. Do your best to pray in Ephesians 6. Oh yeah, I studied it. Great. Pray it in your life. Have you ever prayed in John 3:16? Pastor Graham says this all the time. He quotes John, you know, for God so loved the world. How about pray it into your life? For God so loves me that he gave his one and only son. When you do this, the word of God and the spirit of God works together in your soul. Pray in Romans 8:1. There's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Pray that in your life. God, thank you, Father, that because of your son Jesus and what he's done for me on the cross, that I have no condemnation in my life. Pray the scriptures. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Proclaim the word of God. Declare the word of God. Pray the word of God. Pray at all times in the spirit with all prayers and supplication. That's an interesting word. It means olive branch, actually. The word supplication, it's an olive branch. It's like an approach. You're coming asking for a favor. A supplication means it's like Jesus says, pray our daily bread. That's supplication. You're asking for supply. Did you know it's okay for God, for you to ask God to supply things in your life? That's okay. Pray for your daily bread. Right? Hey, God, would you provide for me today? That's great. Pray for your daily bread. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Don't just pray for the needs of yourself. Pray for the needs of others. Pray for the needs of the church. Pray for the people in your small group. Pray for the brothers and sisters in Christ that God would provide for them. And now, we're going to end with this. So Paul's praying, right? He's talked about the armor of God. He's talked about all this stuff. And then he put it on. And he says, now once you've got the armor of God on, now pray. Gosh, really? No, really. Prayer, people. No, pray. So pray for yourself. Paul says, pray for others. And then Paul says this in Ephesians 6:19-20. And also pray for me, that the words may be given to me to open my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. That's great. For which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Why would Paul be asking prayers for himself? Doesn't God already know what Paul's already asking? Why pray for Paul? Paul, why should I pray for you? God already knows what I'm going to say before I say it. So why even should I pray for you, Paul? Or Paul, you're already sovereign. I mean, God's called you as apostle. He's going to do what he wants to do in your life. Why should I pray for you? Paul doesn't get hung up on this. God has already predestined Paul as an apostle of Jesus. And God's will can't be defeated. But he still says, pray for me. Pray for me. Through your prayers for me, I will get to proclaim Jesus to the Emperor of Rome. Prayer is the primary human agent given by a sovereign God to man through which he will accomplish his will on earth. Prayer is the primary human agent given by a sovereign God to man through which he will accomplish his will on earth. Paul understands this about prayer as Jesus did and as Jesus teaches us. Paul recognizes his own dependency upon the intercession of his friends, despite his calling as an apostle of God. People, the simplicity and the complexity of the topic of prayer. Welcome to the mystery. Welcome to the mystery. I did not accept Christ until I was in my early 20s. You would not have wanted me to date your daughter when I was 17, 18, 19 years old. I was a pretty militant atheist. And I made fun of you people. My mom died when I was 9. Jean. My dad married this amazing lady named Joyce. And she was just my stepmom for like 32 years of my life. Amazing woman. Her mom, I called her Grandma. Grandma, she prayed all the time. Grandma prayed all the time. And to be straight honest, up with you, I thought she was a kooky old woman. She was telling me that someday I'm going to be a pastor. And I wasn't even a Christian. I came home hungover, loaded up from the night of partying. And my grandma's telling me someday I'm going to be a pastor. She's a crazy old woman. But I loved her dearly. I loved Grandma dearly. And I'd listen to her pray, guys. It was so wild. Do you guys, she would live with us in our house for a while in her last years. And I remember listening to her. I'd walk by and I'd hear her praying in there. And I'd shake my head. I have a picture I want to show you. That's who my grandma was. I didn't see the reflection in the mirror. By the way, she's a lot older, laying in her bed with all these meds by her table. And I'd listen to her pray and I'd shake my head and go, what a deceived lady. I had no idea she was a warrior. I had no idea that she was praying over me. Look what I'm doing this morning. Here's another picture. I think this is probably a better look at my grandma. That's probably her. There she is. See, here's the deal. She understood the sermon I'm giving you this morning. She was a woman not to be messed with. Because she put on the armor of God. And this lady prayed. Prayed me out of substance abuse. Prayed me out of being an atheist to an agnostic. I became a deist. And now I became a believer in Jesus, fighting and screaming my whole way. And she just kept praying over me for years and years and years and years and years and years. People, prayer is powerful. Say it with me. Prayer gets God's will done on earth, people. Prayer is the primary human agent given by a sovereign God to man through which he will accomplish his will on earth. If you want to enter into God's will, start praying God's will into this world. And you're joining God in what he's doing. God's looking for us to join him in his work. Jesus prayed all the way through. Prayer is a powerful weapon of the Spirit. Prayer is a powerful weapon. And if you get this, you'll be a warrior. So then at the end of one session at Professor Winans, I don't even know why I do it. Professor Winans, it's kind of boring. Professor Winans, why should I even talk to God? He already knows what I'm going to say. Why should you even ask him to do anything? It's already all predestined. Great questions. Let's take a peek at the person who understands prayer the best. Here he is, Jesus. Look how this guy totally sees this. Like that. Notice Aslan, right? The lion of the tribe of Judah. Prayer. People, pray. Pray the scriptures in your life. Talk to God. Communicate with God. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today. Jesus, we've been talking about the armor of God. You know this, Lord. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be stirring into our lives. God, we have so many questions. There's such a simplicity to prayer. We understand it's just talking with you, God. But then we read that there's a complexity in this thing. There's more than we realize when we talk to you, God. There's something about prayer that just shakes mountains, that calms fires burning, that keeps the lions quiet, that shuts down rain, that causes victory in battle. There's something about prayer. where even the sun would stand still. There's something about prayer. I ask God that you would teach us to pray today. Jesus, teach us to pray. Help us to understand what this thing is. This we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.